Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing that was, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 7, Judges in chapter 7, Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Gideon, and we find that Gideon was the sixth judge of the nation of Israel. God raised him up to deliver them from oppression and bondage, and just a blessing to see how when God's people would look to God and cry out and with a desire to get right with God, that God would send them a deliverer and he would restore them to fellowship with himself. And we find this all through the book of the Judges. When the real enemy showed up, Gideon, of course, as he was raised to be the deliverer, the people were not ready to receive him to start with, and they wanted to actually kill him for destroying the altars of Baal. But then once they realized that he was the man that God would use to deliver them, when the real enemy showed up, Gideon was not their enemy, and they were not his enemy, even though at the first they wanted to kill him. When all the others came, we find that they united with Gideon to fight against the real enemy. And praise the Lord, God's people need to realize who the real enemy is. And we need to unite with each other to fight against the real enemy. And the real enemy is the devil himself. Now, he works through a lot of different things and a lot of different people and all sorts. But the enemy is the devil himself. He's our adversary. And God's people need to unite to fight against the enemy. And so we find that there was 32,000 soldiers, men who were ready to go to battle, to follow Gideon into battle, to defeat the Midianites. The only problem is there was 135,000 Midianites. 135,000. There was 32 that were willing to go to war against 135,000, trusting in God, that God would deliver. Well, Gideon's faith had to be strengthened, and he put out the fleece. That's what we studied last week, Gideon's fleece. And it was a sign to confirm Gideon's faith. It was not to establish Gideon's faith. It was not a temptation of the Lord. And so we studied just what a fleece was. And can we ask God to give us confirmation? Can we ask God for a sign? And we can't go back and re-preach that, but it was a sign to confirm what Gideon believed to be the will of God. Once it was confirmed, Gideon never again doubted that. Through all of it, we find that Gideon now is focused on accomplishing what God wants him to accomplish, and that is to get the victory for the nation of Israel over the enemy. And so we find here, we're going to be reading chapter 7, and it starts out by then because that's what's taken place. We just studied the fleece and the answer to the fleece. So if you go ahead and stand with me tonight, we're going to be looking here. As we know, as we study Old Testament, to the stories, they're more than just literature. It's more than just a story. It's God's holy word. And God has preserved these stories so that we might learn biblical principles found in these stories. And then we can find it if it's a true biblical principle for this New Testament church age. You'll find that taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been a blessing to be able to see this principle and then see how Christ revealed this, fulfilled that, revealed it to us in the New Testament. And we'll continue to do that because that's exactly why we have the Old Testament to study. And so chapter 7, verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 6 tonight. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Still 135 enemy. Now we find 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people, 9,700, bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, and then these that are here tonight that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received just being here. But now as we've opened up your word and we study this life of Gideon, God, I know that you have a spiritual help for each one of us through this study, and I pray tonight that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of your word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Several things tonight in these first six verses. The first thing is, once Gideon had the faith and he knew what God wanted him to do, he didn't hesitate. He took the 32,000 men and went to battle the enemy. That's what verse 1 says. Gideon and all the people that were with him rose up early. They've got their marching orders. Gideon knows exactly what they are to do. Not really looking at the numbers as much as he's just being obedient. Sometimes we look too much at the numbers, the odds, and we need to stay focused on the obedience. And so he understood what God wanted him to do, so being obedient, he went down to battle the enemy. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for the enemy to come to him. He didn't wait for the enemy to start attacking as the enemy had done so for 7 years. The enemy had come down, as we studied this, they'd come into the land and they at harvest time, and they would take away the harvest from the people of Israel. They took away their joy, took away their harvest. And they were coming down and they were going to do the same thing. Gideon was not going to wait until they started marching on the people and on the towns and the cities and stealing the harvest once again. The enemy was on their property. The enemy came to Israel. God lifted up Gideon and he told him, you will defeat the Midianites. I'm going to give you the victory. And so once he had that clear in his mind, he had the faith. It was no doubt a sign that the fleece confirmed it. He was not going to doubt any longer. He was not going to wait for the enemy to attack him. He was going to go and he was going to battle the enemy. He needed to defeat the enemy before there was any more damage done. The nation of Israel. Chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible tells us who the enemy was, and all of them would be kind of under the Midianites, but they all came for the same reason, united against Israel to plunder the land, to defeat them, discourage them, take away any courage that they would have. take away any hope that they could be victorious in life. Take away the hope of joy. Yeah. Took it all away. That's what they did. They were in their land. When we understand the enemy and what he is doing to defeat us, God's battle plans are defeat him. Especially when it comes into your own land, when it comes into your own life. When you realize and God reveals to you in your own life, there's certain things that Satan has brought into your life or certain things that Satan is using to defeat you in your life. When you realize this is how Satan is working to defeat me, to steal from me my joy, to steal from me the victory that God wants me to have, to take away from me all that God has for me. When I realize that that's the enemy in my own life, stop waiting for the enemy to do more damage. When you realize that's the enemy and God wants you to get the victory over it, then go to the enemy and defeat the enemy right then and there. Get rid of it before it has a chance to do any further damage in your mind, in your heart, in your life, in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with your God. Defeat it. I love that about Gideon. He had to make sure, God, I can't do this without you. And so I have to know this is something that you have anointed me to be able to accomplish, to be able to win this battle and to defeat this adversary. And once he had that confidence, his faith was where it needed to be, then he led the people that God had sent with him, the 32,000 initially, and he went to defeat the enemy to keep them from any further damage. Wow. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When you're convicted of your salvation, now's the time to do it. When you understand, when God is speaking to you and God has revealed an enemy, he's revealed something that needs to be done away with, needs to be defeated, don't wait. Stop putting it off. Today's the day to do it. God's revealed to you the enemy, and he's given you the strength to overcome it. Then attack the enemy. Overcome it. Get rid of it before it has a chance to do any more damage. Whatever that might be. Whatever that might be. Yeah. Confront it. Defeat it. Now. It's had too many victories in your life already, amen? For 7 years, they had been coming down. For 7 years, they had taken away the joy of the harvest. No more. Gideon said, it's over. I'm not looking at the numbers. I've already had the marching orders. I've been told by God. I know what God wants me to do. I'm not going to look at the numbers. I'm going to just take what God gives me, and he thinks he has 32,000. And we're going to go up against 135,000 enemies, and we're going to get the victory. Amen. Might be a little tough, 32,000 against 135. In man's thinking, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. He's thinking he's got 32,000. And he looks to attack the enemy with 32,000. Praise the Lord, what faith. He would have to draw on even greater faith. God wanted the numbers reduced for the battle. Verse 2 through 6, it's all about reducing the numbers for the battle. This would no doubt not have made any sense at all. You want to reduce the numbers. God, I have faith. You've already confirmed it through the fleece. I'm not going to doubt you any longer. I'm going to just do what you say to do. So whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. And that God very clearly reveals to him, this is what I tell you, just do it. He would do exactly what God said to do. No arguments, just obedience. See, Gideon's faith was where it needed to be. He was just going to obey no matter what. That's where he was at in his faith. Can I tell you, that's exactly where God wants all of us to be in our faith. But out of the 32,000, there wasn't 32,000 that had that kind of faith. And God says, I'm not going to give this victory into anyone that does not have the kind of faith I'm looking for. Because he told them the reason, what they would do with it. If they didn't have the kind of faith that now Gideon had, and the kind of faith that God was looking to be able to give them this victory, this is what they would do. And God said, I'm not going to allow them to do that. Well, what would they do? Well, he tells us in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. For me to give them this victory, I've looked at each one of them. I know every one of them. 32,000. But they don't have the faith for me to give it to them. He says, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. The reason that God would not give it to 32,000 is because most of the 32,000 would not have the faith that they would need to give God the glory for the victory. Once it was over, they would say, well, we're just better than they are. 32,000 gets, yeah, I know that's really, you know, bad odds for us, but look, we're Israel. We're mighty men of valor, all of us. And so, yeah, just 10 apiece, we can do this, whatever the odds would have been. And God says, that's not what I want them to think before, during, nor after. You see, because people of faith know to give God the glory. When we get a victory, when we are able to do something, when we have the physical capacity to work a job, when we get promoted at work, when we're able to make money every week, when we're able, whatever it might be, whatever it is that we have, whatever it is that we're able to do, a person of the faith that God is looking for says, to God be the glory. Amen. Only by the grace of God. That's not where the 32,000 were. But that's always been God's plan. In Exodus in chapter 20, let me just read it to you. You know the Ten Commandments here, but just let me reveal again what it says in the beginning. Because God's the same today as he was yesterday. He'll still be tomorrow. He's unchangeable. God is a jealous God. We are created for his pleasure, not the opposite. God is not in heaven for our pleasure, to do our bidding. God created us for his pleasure, to do his bidding. That's faith, to believe that, to know that. In Exodus chapter 20, as God wanted his people Israel, after he delivered them from Egypt, he wanted them to fully know who he was. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You didn't get out of Egypt on your own. You didn't have anything to do with defeating Pharaoh. You had nothing to do with parting the Red Sea. You had nothing to do with walking across on dry ground. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not dare look to anyone else and give them credit for anything. Don't make up your own gods, especially humanism. Don't see yourself as a god. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I'll not have of it. If you're my people and you look to me as your God, then you give me glory. And men of faith, women of faith, know to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, New Testament principle. I mean, way of life, revealing an Old Testament principle. New Testament faith. 1 Corinthians verse 9, chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have not of yourself, you have of God. And because of that, you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. You didn't get saved by yourself. That's why you cannot believe that works is going to get you to heaven. You're not giving God the glory. You can't believe that you're going to make it to heaven on your own by being a good person. You cannot believe you're going to make it to heaven through joining a church. You cannot believe that you're going to get to heaven any other way than to give God the glory. For he's the one that saved you. He's the one that sent his son, only begotten son, to die for us. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, knowing this, your faith is going to tell you, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that means who I am, everything I possess, everything I own, every ability that I have, every talent that I have, the ability to think, the ability to have my heart continue to pump my blood through my body, it is no glory to me. All that is taking place every day of my life because of the glory of God. Whether I live 1 year or live 100 years, to God be the glory. No matter what I'm able to accomplish, no matter what I'm able to do, no matter what I have to face in this life, whether it's through the hardships or through the valleys or on top of the mountain, listen to me, to God be the glory. That's the way God would have us to live. That's a life changer. It really is. You won't have to even question tithing. You won't have to question being able to come to church when the church doors are open. You won't even have to, because it's everything is to glorify the Lord. I am going to give him glory for it all. And if I'm going to give him glory, I'm going to do it his way. They were not there. He knew they weren't there. He said, if I give it to 32,000, then they're going to walk away, some of them even more than others, going to say, look how powerful we are. Look at my bank account. Look at my business. Really? Yeah. Well, people of faith know that we are dependent upon a true and living God. And without him, we can do nothing. Now, Jesus said that in John 15 and verse 5. Go back to Judges. People of faith will acknowledge we need God. If you're not careful, Sometimes we'll address life thinking, I can do this on my own. I don't need God, I don't need church. And sometimes it's a variation of that. I need God, I don't need church. You can't separate God and the church. You can't separate God from Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is New Testament church age. This is what Jesus established and what he works through during this New Testament church age. You can't say, I love God and believe in God, but I don't need the church. Listen to me. You can't love God and not love his son and acknowledge his church. You can't do it. That's a variation of being blinded by the devil to live a life without the power of God upon it. And you can live that life thinking you're a self-made person. You can live without God, and you can, but you'll never be able to defeat the devil. And when you die, you're going to go to a devil's hell. And you'll not be storing up, as we just preached on, riches in heaven. Because everything you acquire on your own will be burned up. Yeah. Wow. So our way will not be able to defeat or withstand the devil. God says, you got 32,000, get in, but you're the man. I know you have faith. And I got you to the place where I want to give you the victory. Now it all depends on how many others can have that same faith that I can give them the victory where they'll give me the glory. And that's what this is all about. Two tests. 32,000 will go through two different testings. And these testings will qualify them to have the faith that God's looking for. Now, I love that, because the same faith that God was looking for in their lives is the same faith that God is looking for in our lives. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Well, what are they? Go back, Judges chapter 7. Test number one, to get to those who have faith for God to give them this victory, verse 3. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people. Now Gideon's doing this, and he says, all right, I can understand that, God. Let's go ahead and dwindle this down to what you want to have. So those that are fearful, we might lose a few hundred. Most of them's already dedicated. They know we're going up. They're ready to battle. They followed down here. But we'll lose a few hundred here. That we can still do this. Yeah. To get the victory, we can still do this. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Two-thirds of those that had followed Gideon down to the battlefield. But God looked on their hearts and said, they really don't believe that I can give them the victory. Two-thirds of those that were in church really didn't believe that God could give them the victory. That, just looking at the percentage and what the Bible tells us here, two-thirds left because they said they were afraid. And they feared that God could not give them the victory. Fearful of not being able to win. How many are controlled by fear? How many people do you think that Satan really robs the blessings of God because of fear? Can I tell you, according to this, I believe it's more than what you might even realize. Fear and faith do not mix. You're either going to have the one or the other. They don't mix. Fear needs to be replaced by faith. Too many think they have faith and they allow Satan to replace faith with fear. And instead of living a life of faith, they live a life of fear. People in church live a life of fear. I'm fearful something's going to happen to my child. I'm fearful that we're going to lose our job. I'm fearful that we're going to lose a house. I'm fearful that we're not going to have the finances. I'm fearful that we're going to have to face cancer. I'm fearful that we're going to have to face divorce. I'm fearful that my child's not going to turn out right. I'm fearful of this and I'm fearful of that. And before you know it, Satan has robbed you of peace, and Satan has robbed you of joy, and Satan has robbed you of what God wants you to have. That is brought into our lives through faith. So much about that. Let me just read a few verses to you in the book of Psalms. You can write it down, but let me just read it to you because I'm going to go rather fast here. In Psalms, first of all, chapter, and it's all through the book of Psalms, but Psalms chapter 3 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I love that, yeah. So many people losing sleep over fear that will never come to pass. It's just a tactic that Satan uses. It's a device that he uses to hinder God's people. Book of Psalms. So much here, but Psalms chapter 27 and verse 3 says, though an host should encamp against me, like 135,000, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Psalms 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I love that. Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 12, let me just read to you what Isaiah would prophesize here concerning this New Testament church age. In Isaiah chapter 12, the whole chapter is only 6 verses, says this, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Wow. Then why do we let fear control us? Faith. God says they don't have the faith for me to give them this victory. So let's get rid of those that are fearful. Those would also be the ones that would want to, after it's over, then look at me. Look what I've done. Yeah. Let's get rid of them. Don't need them. Not going to give them the victory. Okay. Couple hundred? No, more like two-thirds. 22,000. Well, test one is over. All right, Lord, we'll take the 10,000. 10,000, we can do it. Gideon still had faith. God, this is your doing. I'm going to do what you say to do. So now God has to really tell Gideon. Now, Gideon, listen to me. You might not understand this, but just what I tell you to do, do it. Go back with me. That's exactly what he said to him. And the Lord said unto Gideon, verse 4, now that was after the remaining 10,000. The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. Try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, thou shalt go with thee, Gideon, the same shall go with thee. This is what I'm telling you. This is what I'm saying. Follow instructions. Be confident in me. Be obedient to me. That's what he's telling him. This shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, this same shall not go. Now he had to help him a little bit there because he knew what he was getting ready to do. He knew Gideon did not have that. He thought, well, all right, we got rid of those fearful. 10,000, we can do it with 10,000. Well, the second test. I want you to watch how they drink. The manner in how they drink water on the field of battle. That's the key. They went down to the field of battle. They're not at home any longer. The 32,000 got together. They went to battle the enemy. So they're in, if you will, enemy territory. Even though it's in Israel, the enemy are present. They just sent 22,000 away. Should it make them even more aware of the enemy? 10,000. Watch how they drink on the field of battle when they know the enemy is nigh. Whew. Yeah, Satan is nigh. This earth is a field of battle. Yeah. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth. Everyone is lapping. That's They're looking around. Have you ever been deer hunting, you know, or animals that know that they're being hunted? When they get around the water, they'll get down, take a sip, look around. They know that they're in danger. They're on the battlefield. Their eyes, they won't stay down there. They won't put their head in the water. They do whatever, they just get a little look around. Get a little more to look around. It's funny to watch them out there. You know, you're up in the tree, you got a bow or not, you know. It's always a doe, you can't shoot it, but you know, it's, you watch it and you see it. And it's, I mean, it knows there's hunters around this place. His life is in danger. I'm going to be aware of my surroundings. That's what they were doing. Lapping it. Aware of their surroundings. Everyone that, and likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Those that just see the water, drop everything, get on their knees and just plunge their head into the water. Oh, it feels good. Just drinking it up. Not lapping it, gulping it. Have no idea if anyone's watching. No idea of their surroundings. Those who lack caution, not being aware of their surroundings, would be sent home. Be sent home. Because you're not ready to win the victory over the enemy. You're not aware of the power of the enemy. Not going to give you the victory. Go home. Because the ones I'm going to get the victory, Gideon, there's only going to be 300. Whoa. Two-thirds left that were fearful. 97% of that which was left was sent home. Only 3% would have the faith God was looking for. Ephesians chapter 5. This is it. Ephesians and last point. Are we aware of our circumstances? Are we aware of our surroundings? Are we aware of how powerful the devil and temptations and the snares that he has set for us? Are we aware of that? You don't have the faith that God wants you to have unless you are aware of your circumstances and the surroundings and how much you need God's protection. Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Stop making fun of sin. Stop looking at sin and having a desire for it. And start. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake those that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In the battlefield, on the enemy territory, you're a fool to put your head in the water. You're wise to be aware of your surroundings and lap the water, never taking your eyes off the enemy. Too many let down their guard and fall prey to the enemy. The Bible says that 1 Timothy chapter 6, one of the things that Satan uses in this life that so many fall prey to is a love of money. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Just one of the many devices that Satan will use to defeat us if we are not walking circumspectly. That word circumspectly means to be aware of your total surroundings. I am aware of my total surroundings so that I will not give in to temptation, because I know where it's coming from. I will not be fooled to fall into a trap or a snare, because I can see it before I ever step into it. Gideon, you have the faith I'm looking for. And out of 32,000, I found 300. And with these 300, I'm going to give you the victory over 135,000 Midianites. Do we have the faith that God's looking for to give us the victories in our lives? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. A willingness to fight 32,000. Prepared for a battle. Get rid of fear. 22,000 dismissed. Walk circumspectly. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the enemy. $9,700 sent home. 300 remained. Oh, to be a part of that 300. To have the faith that's available to us is the way God would have us to live. Get rid of the fear. Whatever it is, get rid of that fear. Trust in God. Be aware. Be looking to God to help you to walk circumspectly, knowing the temptations that so easily beset us and the sins, and defeat them. You can, with faith. Not going to have a musical invitation. There's an invitation going on right now. If God spoke to you tonight, there's a decision you need to make. Now's the time. Make that decision. Make a decision to be part of that 300. You can. Any born-again believer can be a part of that 300. You can have you can overcome fear. You can overcome temptations and the snares of the devil. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for this biblical principles that we find in the life of Gideon, and God, how we can just draw them out and have them confirmed through New Testament scripture. Pray that we would all have a desire to be part of that 300 that would be given the victory. Be with us as we get ready to leave tonight. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.